Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Today's show is sponsored in part by Racetech. Over two decades ago, Racetech was invented, a cost-effective, durable, and truly do-it-yourself modular floor system engineered for the garage. Racetech's multi-patented design allows for easy DIY installation without all the hassles and mess of toxic epoxy coatings. Transforming your garage in just hours, not days. Choose from over 20 styles to create the coolest garage on your block. I currently have the coolest garage at Santa Monica Airport because I have a new Racetech floor. And they put it in 2 hours. It's fantastic. I love it. Racetech is the original modular flooring system engineered for the garage with over 33 patents and proudly made in the USA. It can handle rolling loads in excess of 80,000 pounds, does not chip, peel, or stain. 20 styles, countless colors. You're going to love Racetech. They manufacture 24/7 and ship most orders within 48 hours. Check them out. It's owned and operated by Porsche guys. Shop at racetech.com and use code SPIKE911 and you're going to get 15% off and free shipping. Racetech.com, code SPIKE911, 15% off your order and free shipping. Let's start the show.
Spike's Car Radio starts now.
Listening to Ocean Drive by Duke Dumont. I know streets name Ocean Drive, but I don't know who Duke Dumont is. But this is the favorite driving song of Alex Hershey, aka Supercar Blondie. And she's here.
That's it. How are you?
It's very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
You thought people wouldn't like this song. Why? I'm playing it right now. You can't hear it.
I don't know. Well...
What does this song mean to you?
Okay, I'll tell you why I listen to this song
All right.
When I'm driving. So this reminds me of when it all started. So that was in 2017, and I got my first ever press car. And I was driving in it was a Cali T, and this song was super popular then, and it was always on the radio. And this takes me back to that moment where I thought, holy shit, isn't life amazing?
Let's listen to it. Let's relive this moment.
Let's do it.
That's really cool, your first press car. Yeah. That is a big moment, right?
It is.
Because you're being accepted by the automotive manufacturers as legit.
That's it.
Was this
Which I wasn't.
Was this in Brisbane, Australia?
No, it wasn't actually. Dubai.
In Dubai.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Dubai? Why are you in Dubai? I'm going to turn the song down now.
I've been there 15 years.
Yeah.
I moved to Dubai straight out of university. And the reason I moved there is actually because my fiancé at the time, now husband,
mm-hmm.
got a job in Dubai, straight out
that's
of uni.
That's the fella here who's wearing the Hoyer t-shirt.
Yeah, that's it.
He's into the stuff like we are.
Yeah. So he's Swiss, actually. Uh-huh. And I'm Aussie. And we moved to Dubai together back in 08. And I didn't have a job. I was straight out of uni. And I studied journalism. So that's what I wanted to get into. But then the crash happened, right? And in Dubai, it was a really weird time. Literally all of the rumors you've heard about people leaving their, you know, Ferraris, even like a LaFerrari, whatever, by the side of the road and ditching it are true.
So we're talking about the economic crash.
That's
of
08. Right? So we got there end of 08.
And so why would you desert your Ferrari? Because you couldn't afford the payment, or
yeah. So basically everyone was living large back then and everything was so great. Everyone was getting multi-million dollar bonuses, etc. And then they'd be purchasing or not purchasing cars, getting them on loan, a LaFerrari, right? And back then the law was that if you couldn't pay back your loans, you would go to jail. So suddenly you lose your job, you don't have any option. Either you pay back your loan or you go to jail.
Really?
So a lot of people just said, well, I can't afford this. I'm going to leave the country. So now laws have changed. You don't go to jail now.
But what happened with those cars if they were deserted?
Well,
you came across a Ferrari or a LaFerrari on the road.
I mean, they were there for quite some time. You know,
they just
years
rotted.
Just gathering dust. Wow. And then the government did something about it and kind of carted them away. And to be honest with you, I'm not too sure what happened to those ones that were deserted. Back then, in like 08, 09, I wasn't in this industry at all. So I didn't really have my thumb on what was happening with all of that. But it was just such an interesting time because everyone kind of, it just became deserted. And you just saw all of these beautiful cars like that no one could afford to pay off anymore. Just sat there. And it doesn't happen like that anymore. That's the old times of Dubai.
But what's the moment now? You painted the picture. You're in Dubai. The car market has crashed. The economy's done.
Yeah.
People are deserting their beautiful cars on the road.
Yeah.
You studied to be a journalist.
Yeah.
What's that little inflection point for you? Did you look at the deserted LaFerrari and go, I want to review that?
No, not really. I was always into cars.
Right.
It was more about the driving rather than the cars itself.
I just
always loved driving.
That's what we like.
Yeah.
Right.
So I come from a family of people who just love to drive. And even when I go back home now and I'm, you know, at mom and dad's place, I'm never allowed to drive because they always bags driving. So I'm always the kid in the passenger seat.
That's funny.
When I go back home. So I've always loved driving. And back then I really had nothing to do with cars. I didn't study cars at all. I studied broadcast journalism, basically. So eventually, after a few years of me just trying to get some freelance jobs here and there because the whole economy had crashed, eventually, after doing a few really lousy gigs, even like receptionist at a bank and stuff like that, I finally
That's not
got,
a gig.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, that's I just
a,
wanted to...
That's a crappy job.
Shoot my brains out. Like, after a year, I can't do this anymore. I'm dying.
I was the receptionist at Saturday Night Live.
Well,
now, that's a gig. That
that's
was a
right.
good gig.
Yeah.
But
that's
a crappy
a much
job
gig.
And a gig at the same time. But if it was wrapped
you
around
to
a bank...
You my jokes and stuff, right?
I didn't get to. I just
did it. You
did
it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Well, yeah. I didn't get to do that at the bank.
No.
It was like literally
did
so
did you get to fill
boring.
Out deposit forms or...
Nothing. Nothing.
Let me do somebody's withdrawals.
It was literally, hi, welcome. Who would you like to see today?
Oh, that's
great.
Horrifying.
Here's a meeting room for you. And the rest of the time, I'd just be planning my holidays.
Right. So what is that moment?
So,
like, you
okay,
know...
So basically, I went into journalism, right? So I actually got a gig that I loved. I was on the radio. I was a radio host for 5 years. I had my own show. And through the radio, because I was an official journalist, right?
And this is in Dubai?
This is in Dubai.
And what's the language there?
It's officially Arabic, but the thing is that...
But there's English-speaking radio there.
Oh. 90% of the population is expat.
Okay.
So you've only got a 10% of the population is actually local to the UAE. So there's a lot of Arabic, obviously, but there's also a lot of English channels.
So what was your show? What was the premise of your show?
It was the drive show, which had nothing to do with cars. You know, when you say drive show, it's
the
just
morning
it's
drive.
So I had the afternoon drive from 4 to 7. So everyone's driving home from work. So it was basically called Drive Live. And so we would just cover local topics, you know, get some cool guests in, do some celebrity news, just a bunch of like a whole cross selection of stuff.
And was it you by yourself or did you have a little crew?
No, it was me and a co-host.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So me and Tim. And absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. I love my radio days. And then
what are the laws there like? Like if you swear, do they cut your head off?
Or? Yeah, it's
seriously.
It's not great.
what can and can't you say on the radio in Dubai?
So you got to be pretty careful.
About?
I'll give you a few things that you definitely can't talk about. So I got to be careful here, obviously, because I live in Dubai, right?
Right.
So, and I do love the country. I genuinely do, because otherwise I would have moved out of it. And because of what I do and my presence, a lot of what I say actually comes back to represent the country, mm-hmm. if you get what I mean. So I'll just tell you, like, generally in the UAE, you can't really mention anything about, like, pork, which is quite... It's just such a small thing, but you can't say it.
I'm glad Zuckerman's not here.
Why is that? That's his.
It's one of his favorite subjects.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So you must respect the local religion.
You
should not.
Just be careful.
You have to be careful about that. What about obscenities? Is it like the
US?
No,
of course you can't swear.
You can't swear.
No.
What else? Is there anything surprising in there besides you can't say pork?
Well, you have to be. It's like Thailand, right?
Right.
You have to be respectful of the government and the royalty.
Mm-hmm.
You also, when it comes to religion, there are a lot of things about the religion that, you know, you have to respect. Like, for example, you can't talk about anyone being gay or any kind of other sexual orientation. It's straight. There was this one situation, actually, where a host... for one of his gigs, pretended to be God. And so he got a call and said, well, you can't do that because that's blasphemous and you got to get out. So
it's just, you're not fired. You just don't do that again.
I mean, like, it's...
It's not like China or Russia where they just come and arrest you and toss you off a building.
No, not like that at all.
Okay, that's good. All right.
God, no. But you just have to be careful, obviously.
But anyway, you love this gig, right?
I love it.
You're doing
it.
But it ends.
It ends.
I'm trying to get to this point, this inflection point. Where does this car thing begin?
Okay, so I used to cover, like, the local car launches in Dubai. Let's just put it that way, right? Because it's part of local news. Here's a new car launched in Dubai. And I'd be like, oh my God, can I go do that? So I put my hand up. And so I went to a couple of Bentley car launches to cover on my show. And then I just got a call out of the blue. And I'm not sure how this happens for other journalists, but this is how it happened to me. Bentley calls me and says, do you want a Bentley for the weekend? I was like, what?
Wow.
Is that a thing? Like, What do you mean?
Yeah,
because you're a journalist, we can give you a press car.
So fantastic.
What? So I got a Flying Spur, and that was the first time I ever drove something really luxurious,
jeez.
Right? And it's a huge thing, right? Terrified. So I got in this car for the weekend, and I was like, I need more of this in my life. I just had such an amazing experience driving this thing that I then went knocking on doors and I just went down to the local McLaren dealership.
You're
said,
already
hey,
in, of course. I mean, I just had this.
Exactly.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
The exact
so
same thing
me
I
cars,
did.
So like, do you want to give me a car too? So they knew me from my show. So McLaren was the next one actually I got, which was the 650S.
McLaren, a little easier to get cars from than Bentley.
And oh,
I think,
really?
I think
in
for
your
me. And then Ferrari...
Yeah.
One of the hardest.
Yes, it is.
Once you're in the Ferrari crew, you're in.
Yeah. So...
But don't fuck around with that.
I know.
You'll be kicked out very quickly.
Yes,
quicker than off the radio in Dubai.
Yeah.
You're done.
So Ferrari is... Yeah. That's... We work with all car brands at the moment.
Look at how careful you're being.
Not really with Ferrari.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because as you know, they're very specific. And for me as a content creator, I want to have ownership over what I create.
Right.
And Ferrari wants to have ownership over their brand at all times, right? Mm-hmm. So they're like, right, well, if you want to create with Ferrari and our cars, then we need to check every single thing that goes out on your channel. And I was like, well, that's not who I am. Like, I'm not creating content to promo your brand. I'm making content for my audience, for just fun stuff that I want to do. So basically they got annoyed and they said, well, we're not giving cars anymore. And I said, fine.
So what did you do? You've got these cars, you're getting press cars. You think maybe I should start throwing this stuff on YouTube.
Yeah. So
right?
I started
But you're Alex at that point.
I am.
You're
I'm just Alex. Yeah. I'm just Alex Hershey.
Alexandra.
Alex. I was just Alex Hershey.
That's all.
That's it.
Right.
And I had 300 followers on Instagram, just like anyone else has, like their family.
300.
Friends, right? 300.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just started uploading like my personal experience driving these cars for the first time. And
how were you shooting it?
Just on my phone.
And you were throwing it up on YouTube?
No, not even YouTube at the time.
Just Instagram.
I just had Insta.
Got it.
And what we found out was there were a few videos that actually went viral, and we were like, well, why did they go viral? That's weird. And we looked at it, and when I say we, it's my husband and I, right? Because he would film me. He loves filming, and I would present. So we looked at this thing, and the things that went viral were super, super raw, you know, no editing, made you feel like you were right there with us filming. So we went, well, okay, this is what people want to see. This is what people enjoy consuming on the platform. So let's do more of that. So we started doing more of that. And doing this as a hobby on the side of my radio gig for about a year and a half, I gained about 50,000 followers on Insta.
Wow.
And then I started working with brands, and I was earning more money from the one-off brand gigs for Instagram than I was on my entire radio career.
So someone would call up and say, hey, why don't you help sell our what?
I mean, it could have been...
They were
then
just sponsoring videos, right?
Yeah, I mean, but I would only do things that I really believed in.
Right,
and
me too.
That's why... I think that's where a lot of people go wrong, is mm-hmm. they suddenly they're like sponsoring or talking about a washing machine, you know, and you're like, what is this?
Did you take a lot of heat from what I call the hardcore car guys?
Oh, mate, I still do. People listening right now would be like, she's not a real car girl. She sucks. Like, I saw your post, right? Well, actually, on your Insta, right?
Oh, saying, yeah. Oh, for questions. Yeah, and we'll get to some of those questions
we'll
here.
But
I loved it. I thought it was very polarizing. I go, wow, we got a hot one coming.
Yeah.
Every one of those people will listen to this show.
That's just legitimate
show business right there. But the thing that always irked me, and I dealt with it too, because I came out of comedy. I've always loved cars myself. And then I started doing more car content.
Right.
Right away, it was that's not a...
You're like, not a car guy, you're a comedian.
I always go, I'm offended by that statement, because at least in the Southern California car community, if you like cars, however you like them, whatever you know about, you're welcome.
Yes.
That's part of what makes this business different than show business for me, which is very sharky, or, you know, competing for sketches on Saturday Night Live or whatever. The car business, I mean, going back to the Smothers Brothers, who got into racing because the car community didn't judge them or what they knew. They just walked up and said, we want to race. And they said, we'll help you.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't understand those guys that say that stuff, and I don't pay attention.
That's interesting you say that, because that was my experience. And it was just like, well, she doesn't know about engines, so what does she know? And it's like, well, hang on a minute. I'm just coming in as like a layman, talking about cars in a way that interests me. And if it interests me, it's going to interest some other people as well, right?
Right.
And that's actually what made my content so different and actually appealed to the masses. That's why I've got such a big audience, is because I'm not just talking about engines. Because talking about engines, there might be like 0.1% of the world interested in engines. But there's going to be so many more people interested in like what a gadget does, like on a James Bond car.
Right? I mean, like anything, if you're truly just creating content, you're creating content for yourself and other people like you.
Right.
It's a very simple formula that a lot of folks don't understand. And it either attracts a lot of people or it doesn't.
Yeah.
And in your case, Your following is massive, right? It's like 20 million on YouTube by itself. You can't argue your success and that there's an audience out there for it. I don't watch a lot of YouTube. Usually I'm researching it, but you came on my radar because my kids were watching you.
Right.
They'd come into the living room. I'm watching TV. Have you seen this car? There's this fire coming out the back. And I'm like, no, I don't get cars like that. What is that? Give me. Yeah. And it was this supercar. Who's that? She goes, I don't know, but look, there's fire and blue stuff. And yeah. You had, you know, that's where I first saw you. And
yeah. So you see what they just said. Look, there's fire and there's blue stuff. There's lights, there's right, gadgets. Right. You know, that's what interests people. It's the cool stuff we've never seen before.
Exactly.
And that's what I want to hunt down, because that's the stuff that interests me.
So how does it happen then? I mean, because not all of these cars are press cars, right? And
no. And
you seem to operate in what? Cars $1 million or higher? Or
yeah, I mean, look, I don't get I go on some press trips, I do, but I have a team now who go on press trips because
right.
I'm just trying to hunt down the rarest of the rare, right? And they aren't press cars. So before COVID, I was traveling 300 days a year just to hunt down the world's rarest cars. Like we were in a city for 2 days, got on a plane, in another city 2 days, in another city 2 days. And so that's the kind of thing I'm always searching for, is the next craziest, coolest car to show the world.
And what are you chasing right now? I mean, how does it, you know, for me, a lot of stuff now just comes in through DMs.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you might be interested in this story.
It does happen. It does happen. Yeah.
But what's out there? What's exciting? And look, I think, if I'm not mistaken, this Mercedes AVTR that one of your other guys did.
Yeah. Right?
That has 57 million views, that car. Did you go, I wish I had done that one myself?
Well, I did actually do that one first, and then they got it outside, and I was traveling at that time, and I was like, damn. So that's Sergi.
Did your video do as well as that one?
No.
No, it didn't. I know.
Thanks for bringing it up, Spike.
Well, look, I have a loose crew of journalists and guys and I would be like, oh God, I should have gone myself shot it like that.
I'm super pleased that it did so well with someone else presenting, because that's the only way I can build this business.
Right.
If it's just reliant on me being in front of the camera, it's not a true business. I can't scale.
Right.
So the fact that I can have a team of other people go out and film these incredible cars, and it does even better than when I film them.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I got to do this.
Yeah.
Supercar Spikey.
That's it.
How's that?
Exactly. Just outsource, man. Just get everyone little spikes in their
hair. Can I get a wig
hair,
like yours?
You know,
like your hair?
Exactly. You're
wear.
Good. So,
but that's really what it's about. I mean, I was scanning through your channel and watching stuff and drawn in and watched like 20 videos. And it's you know, I like everybody.
Yeah,
but I just
cool
like
people.
What I like more is what you're showing me
and
the things you're showing me, and you're not asking me to drill down too much on technical stuff, which I do.
It's just
my eyes
entertainment.
Glaze over.
That's
it's
it.
Just
exactly.
Entertainment. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. This episode is sponsored in part by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex, guys. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll get your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online, and Blue Chew's tablets are made right here in the USA. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special for you guys. Try Blue Chew free. That's right, free. We're Blue Chew drug lords. When you use our promo code Spike911 at checkout, just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code Spike911 to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. The other thing that impressed me is, you know, over the years, you talked to a lot of, you know, big guys, big talent. John Travolta, Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
What
He's
can
cool.
you tell? Yeah.
I mean,
tell me about Liam Neeson. I've never seen him really interviewed.
Yeah,
what was
well,
that was
from my radio days.
Those old days.
Yeah, the old days in radio.
When Liam Neeson is in Dubai, he's promoting a movie, right?
Yeah, and
what
I
condition
which
is he in after that flight?
I mean, I only had literally 2 minutes with him. Right. No, not even, maybe 20 seconds.
Hello, Alex.
It was like one of those moments where you're on the red carpet and you're like, hey, what's up? Hi.
Oh, it was like that.
And then he's gone, right? So the other stuff.
But Lewis Hamilton you shot with, and Chris Harris.
Yeah, and John Travolta we had a full-on interview with. We sat down. He was really cool. I remember him going to the toilet behind me in the room and I was like, John Travolta.
What do you mean going like to the toilet behind you?
A meter. As in, that sounded really wrong, didn't it?
I don't understand.
There was a bathroom behind me in the room where we were filming.
I see.
He went into the bathroom. I was like, John Travolta's having a piss right there. I was like, this is crazy.
You did that over the radio. And they didn't cart you away. That's good. So you found a little hole.
Yeah. And then Lewis is awesome. Lewis is really such a down-to-earth, awesome, nice guy. I really enjoyed like driving with him and you know, asking him random stuff. Like, I think I asked him, would you rather have fingers as long as your legs or legs as long as your fingers? And he was and he was just totally up for it. He was like, hang on, let me think about this for a minute. It was actually really good.
Is it true you have a Cybertruck on the way?
Yes, and more exciting news.
What?
So I'm actually here because of this big launch that I'm doing, SPX, right?
Right.
So it's this new auction platform. So our first lot is going to be a Cybertruck at no reserve.
I think that's big news. I think I know a little bit more about it than you do. So why don't you tell us about SPX?
Yeah. Let me just tell you quickly. So, you know, I started obviously just as a content creator and it was just me in front of the camera running around the world trying to find the coolest stuff. We've kind of grown out of that now. We have a full-on media business. I have 70 people now. Our headquarters is in London and we also have a car design business that's based out of Prague. So we have a few different things going on, but our latest biggest thing, and it's based out of the US, is this new auction platform. So it's called SPX and it's going to be the first digital auction platform that is truly global. So it's going to be connecting collectors and dealers from around the world, because at the moment other digital auction platforms, they're doing an amazing job, but they really only focus on one market. You know, it's either North America or it's Europe. So this is going to be global. And the other thing is we're only doing super high-end rare cars. So that's the whole premise behind it. The first lot, as I said, is the Cybertruck, but then we've already got over $50 million of cars consigned for the launch.
Wow. And well, in your world, that could be four cars.
Yeah, that's true. So we got one car. It's worth $50 million.
And it's going up right now.
If that doesn't sell, we're screwed.
What is the date? You know, we're recording this a little ahead of time. Yeah. It's embargoed. But the date of the launch is
18th. The 18th of March.
18th of March. So it's coming up.
So there'll be a preview, because the cars are so, you know, they're quite expensive. So you need to give people time to get their money together, etc. So there'll be a preview period of 2 weeks where we say what's coming up. But one of them...
And the preview period is a time where you can look at the car online come in person and see.
So both. So you can look at the cars, all the cars that are going to be coming up for the launch will be online. All the details will be there. If you want to go and see the car in person, you can. We're going to arrange all of that. That's going to be fine. But the biggest thing, and actually we just closed it today, is the John Player collection. So it is the biggest privately owned John Player Lotus collection.
Wow.
And they've just given the entire collection for us to have on SBX.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow, that's so huge. And what are those cars?
Yeah, so they've got all of the F1 cars from the 70s and 80s in the livery that everyone loves, obviously, the black and gold. And also they've got the big bus where the drivers were.
The transporter.
Yeah, exactly. The transporter.
Wow.
The transporter. They've got a Cessna. They've got.
Wait, a Cessna plane?
Yeah. With the livery. Yeah.
Like a 172 or something?
I'll have to look it up. I've got my auction specialist on it. But
so this is just wild, you know, never before seen stuff. Like,
no, he's been collecting this for years.
And I'm just saying the auction platform, it's different. differentiates itself by being things that you wouldn't find in these other spots,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, because
and how do you, you know, when you know, just devil's advocate, you have, you know, an auction platform, Bring a Trailer, right?
Who's
or Doug DeMuro? These guys are just moving cars all day long, 60 cars a week or whatever it is, right? How does your business model work?
So, obviously, we're not going for the volume game. That's
right.
You know, their average car being sold is, I think, $35,000 or something like that. We're going for only super exclusive. I mean, we're not putting a price tag on it. There could be really cool, like, collectible cars that are only $50,000, $100,000. That's going to be up there on the side. But we, at first, we're only really going to be auctioning off about 10 to 15 cars a week. Okay, because the average price at the moment of the cars that we have is just over $1 million. Now, we're in the digital space, but the other difference is that we're actually more competing with the in-house auction guys, because we are delivering the same kind of content, I call it content, as the in-house auction guys, and we're going to have all of the after-sales service and the care and the specialists and everything to be able to talk to, because the current digital platforms, they're awesome at what they do, but there's not really that one-on-one kind of feel where you go, I can pick up the phone and actually talk to someone about selling my love Ferrari.
Right.
You know, so that's going to happen on our platform. It's going to be like more personalized. And then
what about the buying side of it?
So, okay, you want to get down to the nitty gritty.
If I'm going to buy a LaFerrari online.
Yeah.
You know, and part of the problem I have with the regular auction houses is, you know, it's like, here are your keys.
Yeah.
Good luck. Where do you want it? You know, and, you know, if you want to look at it, you know, they'll take you through it, but you don't exactly feel like they're actually working for you.
Yeah.
They're trying to keep the sale moving along, right?
Exactly.
And you don't get a real appraisal of the car.
Yeah. So when you come to us as, let's start with the seller, right? You come to us as a seller, you go, right, I've got a LaFerrari.
Right.
You're then assigned one of our auction managers and auction specialists to talk you through how much, you know, this could sell for, get the right consignment price, because obviously we also don't want to burn cars, right? People think, okay, well, if I have my car on an auction platform and it doesn't sell, what's that going to do for the car, you know? So that's a really important aspect, is that we work with the seller to go, okay, this is actually what we think, all of our consignment experts think it can actually be sold for. If they want something totally unreasonable, we're not really going to consign it, right? So apart from that, once it's then gone live, our expert will work with the seller the entire way through. Then once it's if it doesn't sell, the our team will actually reach out to the guys who wanted to buy it, because they'll be able to see who is bidding for it, right? And try and work on an after.
That happens with regular auctions all the time, right?
Right, right. But it
is the bidding exclusively though in the beginning online? Is it all online bidding?
It's all online.
Okay.
But there's that kind of personal follow through, which I feel like with some of the other auction platforms, if it doesn't sell, then see you later. Like, I don't care.
Right.
You know, buy, on to the next one. We're not going to treat it like that. If it doesn't sell, we still want to try and help you sell it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be that follow up. There's going to be like, hey, okay, this one didn't work. This is why. Or this is the feedback we have. So there's that kind of real personal interaction that we really want, because of course you're dealing with people who are selling these multi-million dollar cars, and it's not just didn't sell.
It's a real test for the ultra luxury market to see if those buyers are out there day after day.
Well, it's kind of been proven when Bat launched, right? Everyone was like, oh, people really going to buy luxury cars or even cars online?
Yeah.
Recently, you know, they do have premium listings.
They do.
I think they have, what, 15 a week or something, premium listings. And they are selling online.
Yeah.
Multi-million dollar cars are selling online through their platform. It is proven. People do buy these cars online. The thing is that they're only catering really to one market, which is North America, right? We have access to buyers all over the world. So if you're saying, is there enough really demand for so many luxury cars all the time? Maybe not just in North America. we've got the access to the collectors and the dealers in Japan, in Australia, in the Middle East, in Europe. And at the moment, a lot of these people are being underserved, you know, like you don't have collectors actively selling their cars on auction platforms anywhere in the world. And so they're sitting on these incredible cars that people don't even know about. So we're going to get access to cars that no one has ever gotten access to before.
Right. No, it's good.
And you know, and we're gonna use the media platform, you know, as like a launching pad because we have over 2 billion views per month on average. So when we say, listen, we're going to consign your car, we're going to get it in front of eyeballs. We're going to find the right buyer for this. It could be anywhere in the world. We can literally do a video on it and get many, like multi millions of views. The buyer might not actually see the video, but you know how it happens. A friend might see it and go, oh my God, I know you've always wanted this car, and you know, pass it on WhatsApp or whatever it is. So we're kind of going to use that, leverage the media side of the business for this.
No, it's smart. I've always thought, I told you when we chatted earlier, like one of my favorite sites is Classic Driver, because I want to see the rest of the cool cars in the world.
Have you bought from an auction before?
No, I don't generally buy from auctions. I'm trying to think. I'm sure somewhere. Yeah, you know, eBay occasionally.
Yeah.
I think Gooding one year, but mostly I rely on my network of kind of guys that I trust who've sold me great cars before.
Sure.
But still, I have such, you know, it's a weird thing. You know, the internet has opened up everything, but I'm always looking in Brussels or in Germany or, you know, or Sweden for that guy that took that car from and put it away in his garage. And now, you know, we found great cars that way.
Sure.
And, but then, even then, there's still a barrier with getting in touch with people and getting it delivered. And then, do I really want it? Who the hell can look at it?
Right.
You know, it's in Sweden somewhere.
Yes.
Right? So if your site is making those connections and making it easier and putting it right in front of my face and saying, we're going to help you look at it, we're going to help get to you. Yeah, that interests me.
Yeah.
That definitely interests me.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's also stuff that I haven't seen before or I can't get anywhere else.
Yes.
You know, and that's generally the whole auction business. Like our little rule and our little crew is if you couldn't buy it anywhere else, then buy it at auction.
Right.
As long as it's not anywhere else.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's special because cars. Of the trust factor, right?
No, it's just there might be a better example out there. Why go through all that trouble?
Okay.
Right. You know, for us, the auction business is about that one of a kind car,
sure.
or maybe three of a kind, whatever, but I haven't seen anything like that.
Sure.
And so that's generally what we're, you know, snooping around for in auctions.
Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal.
Right.
To find stuff that no one's really seen before or can't get access to.
Yeah. You can't get access to.
I mean, it's not going to be, there might be some supercars that are kind of like, more attainable in the lots, but generally there's what we're going for is stuff you can't find elsewhere.
Isn't it disappointing to buy a bag of delicious smelling coffee beans only to get home and make coffee completely devoid of character? AeroPress coffee uses a patented brew method that gets the purest flavors from the beans and speeds things up so coffee doesn't get over extracted. You get a smooth, rich, bitter-free cup of coffee that tastes as good as the smell of freshly roasted beans. I can attest to this. I've been doing it every morning. It gets me high on caffeine. AeroPress uses a patented 3-in-1 brew technology that combines the flavor benefits of espresso, pour over, and French press into one compact, portable device built for travel. That's right. Take it with you when you're traveling. With over 55,000 five-star reviews in 60 countries, AeroPress is the best reviewed coffee press on the planet. At just under $50 with all those great reviews, AeroPress makes an exceptional gift. Thoughtful, proven, tasty, and travel-oriented. Who wouldn't love that? Check out AeroPress, the shockingly affordable less than $50. And here's your incredible offer. Go to aeropress.com/spike911. That's right. AEROPRESS.com/spike911. Use the promo code spike911 to save 20% off your order. That's aeropress.com/spike911. Be sure to use promo code spike911 at checkout to save 20%. It's time to ditch the drive-through, toss the French press, and say yes to better mornings fueled by better coffee. Aeropress ships to the USA and over 60 countries around the world. And we thank Aeropress for sponsoring Spike's Car Radio. What's the deal with that watch you're wearing right now?
actually, so my husband is Swiss, right? So
yes.
He's into watches. So he got me kind of into
I'm
watches.
Not Swiss, and I'm into watches.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It goes hand in hand with cars, I've
right.
found out, right? I mean,
it's a very handsome watch.
Thank you. What are you wearing? You got
I'm
special?
Wearing, this is a prototype for a Sheffield Spike's Car Radio watch right
oh,
there. Lovely,
nice.
Though, isn't it?
How many of them
Rubber
are
strap.
There?
We're going to make, well, I haven't really announced it yet,
oh,
but
okay.
but several hundred.
Exclusive.
We're going to make several hundred.
Nice.
But yeah, you'd look at this watch and you'd go, it's a very nice timepiece,
Where
right?
is it made?
Here, well, all over the place. But
yeah,
but it's a,
but you brought in the
Sheffield,
pieces from...
Sheffield is a company that launched in New York.
Okay.
And they were affordable dive watches.
Oh, okay.
So the fella that bought the brand, his name is Jay, is a friend of the show, and he's a Porsche guy. He bought the brand because his dad bought him a watch when he was 13.
Yeah.
The watch was $13. So he said, I'm going to buy this brand and make a watch so that dads can give their sons a watch at $13 in 2023 money.
Cute.
Which turned out to be $108. And this, now he's making something a little more complicated with a Seiko movement in it that's automatic.
That's great. Are you going to do different colors?
Well, this is the different color. This is based on one of his dive watches that he already makes. So this is
okay.
this is the blue that it was inspired by a Marine National watch, the Tudor Marine National.
It's nice.
But it's a nice watch.
I like it a lot.
It's going to be under $200.
Yeah, nice. Very nice.
It's a beautiful
there
thing.
You go, bam, there's an exclusive for you.
And look, and I'm wearing it.
It looks good, man.
I knew you were coming with some heavy metal, and I went, but I want to wear this.
Yeah.
I want to wear my rubber strap dive watch.
No, it's
watch.
Good because it's always a conversation starter, right? Like,
yeah.
you can wear a watch like this, you mm-hmm. know, and people are like, oh, that's a nice watch. But if you wear a watch like that, there's always a story behind it,
mm-hmm.
right? What is that? Where do you get it from? Why, you know, so
but
I think
you
that's
sell,
really cool.
Do you sell these ultra, like, luxury items? Do you have a watch? Like, I was on your site, and there was, like, news... Tech news, gaming news.
Yeah, so we have a.
What's the plan? Like, where's that going?
Yeah,
and then but then you're selling stuff.
That's the media side, right?
Right.
So we have all the social media platforms where we do the videos, and then we also have our editorial platform where we have journalists writing about cool stuff.
Right.
So that's supercarblondie.com, right? That's what you were looking at. So it's basically just cool news articles. It's just entertainment, just like it is with the video side. We don't sell any.
You don't sell anything. You just take on advertising.
That's it.
I would love to
start selling certain things, maybe
right.
in the car world, like SB branded car stuff.
Right.
That's not our focus right now. So we just haven't gone into that. At the moment, it's just the media side, and then we've got the car design side. Now we've got SBX, and yes, I would love to be able to sell stuff, wouldn't we all? it'll come, hopefully.
Yeah.
Come.
Well.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it.
It'll be fun. Why
and,
not?
And so you're everywhere where there's social media, I'm guessing.
Pretty much.
TikTok,
I mean, it's too much.
Yeah,
it's
Instagram.
Too much. There's new stuff all the time. And
right.
I'm like, oh, God, we have to get on that as well, you know.
I know.
There was a new platform recently. I can't even remember.
Threads.
Threads, thank you. Threads. And we all jumped on it, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, just in case it takes off.
Yeah.
Nothing. So, but you
it's,
have to be on
but
it.
It's a happy place.
Yeah,
I'm
like
on
it?
Threads because it's everybody's nice.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
You know the bullshit you were talking about
yeah,
on
yeah.
today's post on Instagram.
Yeah,
it's not there.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They kind of keep a nice community, and frankly, you know, that's YouTube bugs me. I did Jay's show recently,
yep.
and someone called for a race war under it. They said those Jews, Jay Leno, who's the
yeah,
most
yeah.
Italian guy I know.
Yep, yep.
And I'm Irish. I'm an Irish citizen who's got a little Jew in. Him, but they go, this is why we must protect
yeah, yeah,
the master
yeah.
race. I'm like, what the hell is that? This is a GT4 RS review.
I know. It's insane.
Why aren't they keeping their community? Why aren't they tending to their garden there? They don't care.
I just,
so how do you deal with that? You just ignore all of it?
It really affected me at the beginning. It really
right.
did. I mean, I'm not going to like brush over it. I had to go through therapy and everything. Like, I was really down in the dumps.
What did your, so you went in, I would love to know, what did the therapist say to you about this stuff?
She just basically said, look, There are only so many shits you can give, right? And you got to choose which shits you're going to give every day. And is that really going to be one of your shits? And I'm like, well, yeah, that's going to be one of your shits.
Like, thank you for invalidating me. I'm paying for you to validate me.
Exactly. I said, she's like, right, I can't help you. You better leave.
She didn't say anything about like what all that stuff means.
No, she does. She did. She said, listen, people are going to hate on you because they hate the same thing about themselves. Like if I have achieved something in the car world, they're going to hate that because they haven't. And it's always a personal reflection on what they haven't been able to achieve.
There you go.
So that really resonated with me. And I just thought, yeah, you know, like there's something just clicked. And I was like, why should I give a shit about what these people think? I'm winning here. I'm the one successful. They're not. So, like, I have the last laugh.
Well,
like, it sounds harsh,
but like
I'm sorry.
Oscar Wilde said, it's better to be talked about than not talked about at all.
Exactly.
And it's very clear.
If you're not getting talked about, like on this Instagram post, right? There are a lot of shitty comments, which is normal for me.
when I go on Matt Farah's show, I get it. Right. And actually, when I go on Jay's show, I get it.
And you get it, yeah.
And then I was on Stephen Colbert's show once and communicated a little too much friendliness and nobody knew who I was. And they were like, who the fuck is this? It was vicious.
Yeah, because they were jealous that they weren't being the friend.
Yeah, and they were having a bad day or whatever. Yeah, whatever, it's just easy to kind of take a pot shot.
But I mean, if people aren't... Like,
if they're not talking about you, you're not doing anything.
You're not relevant.
Yeah, you're not relevant. You know? That's right.
So it's fine with me now. I don't care.
Well, look.
Whatever.
Very nice to meet you finally,
so nice,
Alex.
To meet you too. Thanks for having me. This is such a
nice... AKA Blondie.
I love doing podcasts because it takes me back to my radio days. Instead of being in front of the camera.
Right.
I'm just
you can chill.
Sometimes I'm like, God, do I need to do my hair again today?
No.
It's so annoying.
You don't. Look at me.
You did do your hair, though. I can tell. It looks good.
You know what you're looking at right now?
What?
Okay, so I got up and I did do my hair.
Yes.
And then my morning got washed out.
Okay.
And then I went right to the gym and I worked out for an hour and a half.
Oh, mate.
And then...
This is your after-gym
I took
look?
A half-ass shower so I didn't stink.
Mate, I'm impressed.
So this, whatever's happening up there is a workout hair.
Actually, it works for you.
But nobody's tuning in for my hair. I don't even know why.
Listen, you are called Spike. That was named after your hair, right?
It was.
So the whole thing kind of has a hair.
Correct.
Thing, let's be honest.
But look, I'm pushing 60, man. It's going to go soon.
You look good, man. You look good.
Thank you so much. I'll take that home and feel good about myself for 10 minutes. Give me your shrink's number. Anyway, appreciate it. Thank you for coming
on.
Thank
you so much.
You're welcome back on our show anytime, of course. And best of luck with the new auction site, SBX, which launches...
March 18th.
Awesome. I can't wait to check it out.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next week, Spikes Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spikes Car Radio. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday and be sure to subscribe. Buttered sausage.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off My Rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.